saw your prayers tonight as we look into the Word. The burden that I have on my heart tonight is entitled Chosen Out of the World. And really, in this is kind of a conclusion to fellowshipping the sufferings of Christ. And that would have been part four. This is a little different title I put on it, but that is the conclusion of that little, I guess, mini series. Like us to begin over in 1 John, and if you will recall, and I trust you do by now, you know the text that we've been looking at, considering the last couple of months. And as we follow the Lord, there is going to be a suffering that is the lot of God's people. And anytime you find people that are trying to escape the suffering or the reproach of the cross, you will find a people that do not have the anointing of God on their life. That can include us collectively. It can include us as a congregation. It can include us individually in our own lives, in our homes, in our families. If we try to make decisions such that we don't have to bear the reproach of the cross of Christ, we are going to find God's approval lifting off of our life. Because when we follow Christ, there is going to be a cross for each of us to bear. Jesus told his disciples, he said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. And we find that what the religious world is doing tonight is they are trying to preach a Christ without the cross. They're trying to preach a Christ, and it's a message shared, I believe, the other week, that they're trying to share a message of wealth and prosperity and health to God's people. I've heard it. That's what some of the bestseller books are about. It's what the big mega churches are teaching and promoting. And I'm going to go a step further. And this is where you need to try the spirits of those that minister to you. I've heard it come across a pulpit among us, and it was false doctrine. And I say that for the purpose that any time we try to deny the cross of Christ, we are headed down the wrong path. And there is going to be, it wasn't across this pulpit, but it is a reproach to the work of God for us to try to redefine what holiness is and what it means to serve the Lord for the purpose of finding acceptance with the world and trying to promote an idea of live as you are, and if you serve the Lord, you won't be sick. It's not God's will for you to be sick. And God, when the promotion comes up on the job, it's God's will for you to get the promotion. The Bible doesn't teach us that. The Bible teaches that Christ was a man, as we previously examined, that he was a man of grief. He was acquainted with sorrow. He knew what it meant to be rejected. And as God's people, there is also a cross that we have to bear. Keeping that in mind, in 1 John, we'll begin with chapter 3, beginning with the first verse. The Scripture says, behold what manner of love, that's 1 John 3 and 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Isn't it a blessing tonight to be called the sons of God? The sons and daughters of God, do you know, if you are royalty and you were just out somewhere and someone said, now who are you? And you told them, well, I am the son of the king. Right, automatically, there would be a respect. You wouldn't be ashamed if you had a good king. You wouldn't be ashamed to tell someone, I'm the child of the king. And do you know, if you have family members that you're not ashamed of, you're not afraid of someone saying, now, aren't you one of those Smith boys? Or aren't you one of the Busby crew? Or are you one of those Sorrels? If you're not ashamed of it, if you have good relatives and you don't have to worry about what they've been doing, you don't have to be ashamed to step up and say, I'm one of them. Well, here he said, behold what manner of love. What a blessing it is tonight that we should be called the sons of God. That means, folks, that we are children of royalty. We are children of God tonight, and we need not be ashamed or afraid to step up and say, I am the son of God. It is a blessing tonight. It is a privilege tonight to be able to confess and testify to the fact that we're children of God. We don't need to be ashamed of that tonight. We don't need to be ashamed to say that I'm a Christian with what that really means. I'm following the footsteps of Christ. That's a privilege tonight. But he went on to say this, therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Now first he starts talking about what an honor it is to be the sons of God. And he's kind of like wanting everybody to know, while it's an honor and it's a blessing, the love of God, that we should be called his sons. It said, know this. The world's not going to know us. If you're children of God, the world's not going to know you because they didn't know the Son of God. Jesus, the scripture said, I believe in the first chapter of John, it said, Jesus, speaking of Christ, it said, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to such as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The world as a whole has rejected Christ. And that means if we are going to follow in his steps tonight, the world is not going to know us. We cannot expect the world to understand why we live like we do, because they don't understand Jesus. We don't need to expect the world to just embrace in fellowship our diversity tonight. See, the world's big on diversity. But I find that that diversity does not include holiness. Have you found that? They say people should be able to have the right to live like they want to live. And on extreme sinful lifestyles, people say, well, just respect them for who they want to be. But for some strange reason, when it comes to principles of godly living, all of a sudden that tolerance and diversity, they're not quite as willing to embrace it. That's what I've discovered. And it's because the world doesn't understand Jesus. The world is headed a different direction than where the cross points us tonight. We are still honored to be called the sons of God. But I want us to know and understand that if we follow Jesus, the world's not going to understand. The world's not going to know us. So what does it tell us then when the world embraces us? What should it tell us when we are just one with the world and we just feel so comfortable and the world is comfortable with us and we're just on the same page? You know what that ought to tell us? It ought to tell us that we don't know Jesus either. Because the scripture said, and we're going to read a little bit more, but it teaches us the world, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. So that means then that, folks, the cross that we are called to tonight, the reproach that the world places on us, we're not going to be living like the world. We're not going to be conducting ourselves like the world. We're not going to be dressing like the world. We're not going to be acting like the world. We're not going to be going to all of the places the world goes to. Now, just because someone that's unsaved goes and does something, in and of itself doesn't make it wrong. But it means there are going to be places that we don't go because we're headed down a different path. And there is only one path tonight that's going to get us to heaven, and it's the path of the cross. And that's why Jesus said it's a straight and it's a narrow way. And we find today the enemy is being more successful, I believe. The world, the devil, is being more successful in this attitude of, among churches today, this attitude of everybody just serve God your own way. Live like you, define it how you want to define it, and we're all headed the same place, and we just need to respect each other, and don't judge me, and we'll just all live like we want to live because we all want to go to heaven. The devil is being more successful with that kind of mentality than he was under the days of physical persecution to the saints of God. And I've shared before, and I probably continue to, I still remember, and I know I've said it before, and Brother Leslie, I believe, was at a graduation ceremony one time. He said, we just need some persecution. I was thinking, Brother Leslie, and I kind of cringed a little bit. Do you know that every time historically when persecution comes, it purges? Those that will stand up and truly serve God, it has a way of sweeping clean and separating the wheat from the chaff. Folks, the devil knows that too, and I believe that's to a certain extent why he would just rather promote this tolerance thing. So we'll preach Christ without the cross. But I want us to know tonight that Christ with the cross is the way that's going to get us to heaven. And the world's not going to know us because it knew Him not. Over in John in the 15th chapter, John chapter 15, beginning with verse 18, He said, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated Me before it hated you." Somebody ever like to be hated or highly disliked? It doesn't feel very good. And maybe you've never been there, and I'm glad for you in a sense. But do you understand that the Scripture, He says here, if the world hate you, don't forget they hated Me too. I had a man one time, he used to minister among us, and I had preached a message. And the Lord blessed the message, and the Lord was there. And he came up to me afterward because he pulled off on his own little group. And he said, "I can't respect what you brought out today because you did such and such over here," because actually it was a wedding I helped perform. And he said, "Because you married this couple over here," he said, he was undermining the message of holiness I just got done preaching. He was trying to find something to undermine the Word that he could go back to his little group that was there in that service, and so he couldn't tear down the truth, so he had to try to tear me down. I want us to understand, my dad told me, it didn't feel very good to some of the things he said. And my dad told me, I had shared it with him, he was actually there that day, and he said, "Michael," he said, "you're in good company." He said that individual tore down, that for some of the same reasons, tore down Brother Austis Wilson. He did it to Brother Clifford Wilson. He said, "You're in good company." Do you know that you are in good company tonight when the world hates you because they hated Jesus too? The stand for righteousness and truth that we are to hold on to tonight, the world hates it. They don't like it. And we would be more acceptable to the world by having a laissez-faire attitude that anything goes and just do it your own way. But folks, the Lord has called us to a life of holiness. And so He said, if you're hated, don't be discouraged. Don't be cast down. I know He said, but I'm still bothers me, because we like to feel accepted. But Jesus said, in essence, I'm paraphrasing, putting this in my own words, but don't be discouraged. Because He said, the world hated Me first. And I'd rather walk alone by myself with Jesus than with all the endorsements of people of this world. And I want to encourage you tonight, don't seek the endorsements of people if it's going to cost the endorsement of Christ in your life. If it cost you family relationships, if it cost you friends that you have for years, to stay walking beside Jesus Christ and taking the way of the cross, I want to encourage you to humbly continue the way of the cross. Because that's where the blessings of God are. He went on to say then, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. And that's the title put on the board. I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. If you were of the world would love you. It ought to be a caution then when we just fill one with the world. And we begin to get an idea, well, to share Christ with people, we'll just get down in the mud with them so we can relate with them. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus was lifted up on the cross. He rose above the world, that He could lift them up. And folks, that's our commission and call tonight, is some of God's people, as a part tonight of the body of Christ, we are not called to leave the cross to get down with the multitudes, but we are called to lift up Christ, taking the way of the cross, that we have something to bring people to. That's the road to deliverance. That's the road of God's blessings and anointing on our life. And He said, I have chosen you out of the world. Folks, we cannot serve God and mammon, the Scripture says. We cannot be one with the world and still have a close relationship with God. It doesn't work. And so that means then that all of the groups and all of the people that are promoting this idea that we can have both, they have missed the mark. It will not bring deliverance in their life. It will not bring peace. It will not bring victory. Jesus said, I've chosen you out. And when you have been chosen out, have any of you all, you children, got a package of M&Ms? I did it the other day. Renee had someone to give us one of those big packs of M&Ms. So I had taken a few in there in the study, and I guess just naturally I started dividing them up by color. And I made a line of blue and a line of green and a line of, and I was choosing some of them out. Do you know that Jesus has chosen us out of the world? He doesn't want us to be mixed with. He doesn't want us to have our garments tainted with the things of the world. But he said he came along and he chose us out. In other words, he took us to a different place. He set us apart. As we already addressed previously in this series, that's what church means too. Ecclesia, called out. We've been taken aside and differentiated. Folks, when the world cannot differentiate us from them, we have missed the mark. Because when we're not living like they live, when we're not acting like they act, when our priorities are different, they're going to see a difference and they will ridicule sometimes. They'll personalize it sometimes. They won't like it sometimes. And the reason is because light brings condemnation. And so men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds are evil. And they would rather just, and it makes them feel guilty. And so then we've dealt a little bit with this, but they'll put on you like you're self-righteous. And you're not self-righteous, you're just trying to serve the Lord. But they want to bring you down to their level. And I want to say tonight, Jesus has chosen us out of the world. Let's not go back to the things that Jesus saved us from. Brother, I heard a brother talking about the shows. And he said, and they were talking about the issue of television at the time. And the brother said, the things that were on the television, he said, those are the things that God saved me from. The drinking and the adultery and the fornication and all the filth that's in the world. He said, that's what the Lord saved me from. So why do we want to go back to it tonight? Why would we want to begin to bring back into our lives the very things that God saved us from? We've been chosen out of the world, separated from it. Song says, the world behind me, I have decided to follow Jesus. That song, one of the verses says, the world behind me. What's before me? The cross. Can we testify to that kind of experience tonight? Folks, that's what it means to be chosen out of the world, that we responded to the call. And said, Lord, I will follow you. And he said, I've chosen you out of the world. Folks, as Peter, he didn't drag his fishing nets. Remember, he left his nets to follow Jesus. Let's not try to drag the world behind us while we're going the way of the cross. It'll get us tangled up. And when we have been delivered from the world, we've been chosen out, let's keep the cross ever before us, folks, and let the world stay behind us. These are the things that God saved us from. So why does it seem like there's so many pressures and influence to bring the world back in? You really think that's God? You really think that's wise spiritually to do that? I've seen over and over and over what it does to people's lives. It gets them tangled back up, and they don't intend to. They just think, well, I'll be logical and follow this process down. So what did God save us from? He saved us from sin. He saved us from the works of the flesh. He saved us and called us out to separate us out that we could be the light of the world. So folks, let's leave it behind us. Let's not bring it back. The scripture says as well, remember he said in 1 John, I believe chapter 3, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Things? You want to get people hopping? Talk about things. The scripture said, love not the world, neither the things that are in it. Why is that? Because our love should be for the things of God. Those things that are holy, those things that are wholesome, those things that are pure, those things that will work righteousness in our life, that's where our love and affection should be. And he has chosen us out. Over in the 17th chapter of John, Jesus was praying. And in verse 13, chapter 17, verse 13, Jesus said, "Now come I unto thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Folks, it's God's will that we be full of His joy tonight. He wants us to have the joy of the Lord. So listen to what He said. "I have given them thy word." That's the truth. And He said, "And the world hath hated them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them." Remember what it means to be sanctified? It means to be set apart. Jesus said, "I have chosen you out of the world." He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, and thy word is truth." Folks, when we follow what the Bible teaches, the natural result of that is going to be there's going to be a separation from God's people in the world. And where you find that there is not a separation, you will find a people that are not teaching the whole truth. Because the world hath hated us, it said. And Jesus, when He prayed, He said, "Don't take them out of the world." Folks, the Lord wants us to be a light to the world. The Lord is not, I do not believe it's God's will and purpose for us to build a wall around us. And we call it Saintsville. That's just a little term I put on it. We can build our little community and isolate ourselves from the world. That was not God's will and purpose. He put us in here that we could live godly where? In this present evil world. He has given us salvation, the Holy Spirit, and the grace of God that I can still go to work. I can still go to school. I can still go out in the world and function and do business out in the world without becoming contaminated with the evil of it. It wasn't His purpose for us to withdraw ourselves, but it was rather His purpose that we be in the world, but we not be of it. That we do separate ourselves from the influences and the unrighteousness that's in the world. We've been chosen out of it. The world is in a downward spiral. I know Brother Cook can attest to it. But I will say I've seen a lot of it just in my short lifetime. I've seen a lot of it. Things that were one time held just even outside of church, but just even in society. Things that were deemed as wrong. There was a time that people didn't even divorce. It was a reproach, a great reproach, if a man or a woman left their husband or wife. Today, there are more divorce. Actually, that's changing now because people just aren't getting married anymore. But there was a time there were more divorces and there were marriages. And now, I believe I read a while back that I believe that 60% of children now are born out of wedlock. That means in this country, over half of the children are born to unwed mothers. It's a result. It's a result of unrighteousness. It's a result, and it's not reproachful in the world anymore. The world doesn't see it that way anymore. But the Bible still teaches us a life of holiness. It still teaches us purity. It still teaches the sanctity of marriage. And here then, when He said, "Don't take them out of the world, but they're not of the world," folks, that's still our call today. Now, do you remember, and we won't take the time to read it, but in the 6th chapter of Genesis, in the account of Noah and the ark, before, when God looked on the world and He was displeased, and it said He repented that He'd even made mankind. Do you remember what was happening that God made God so upset at what was happening in mankind? It said the sons of God were marrying the daughters of men. Mixed marriages. He was not talking about mixing of color or international, nationalities. That's not what He was talking about. The sons of God were those traditionally that came from the lineage of Seth, who was a servant of God, who worshiped God. In his lineage was Enoch, who walked with God. Noah was from the lineage of Seth. And they were called, they were referred to as the sons of God. Those that were still lifting God up as God of their life. And the daughters of men were those, the descendants of Cain. Those that were living after the flesh and going for the things of the world. Those that were, in our terminology for today in the new dispensation, the reference would be those that are serving the Lord, beginning to look on the daughters of the world, saying, I want to align myself with them and I want to get married to them. Practically speaking, folks, it is wrong to marry, if you're saved, loving God, to join your life with someone that is not saved. How can we say God is first in my life, but choose that the most intimate and closest of all human relationships be with someone that does not honor God with their life? And there's a lot of people that begin to bristle. They begin to bristle when this kind of truth is brought out to, because they want the freedom to marry who they want. But folks, I want us to understand tonight, in a practical sense, if you love the Lord, you need to marry someone that loves God just like you do. And what happens is, the sons of God, those that were honoring God, they married a wife that didn't honor God. Now what influence are the children to be under? A wife and a mother that doesn't honor God, and that's how she raises her children. And pretty soon, more often than not, the man loses his experience with God too. That's what happened to Solomon. One of the wisest men that has ever lived, he lost his soul in his old age. It said in his old age, his heart was turned away from God because of who? Because of his wives. It was because he violated the law of God when he went out and married women that did not honor and serve God. He didn't lose his soul overnight necessarily back then, but through time and through their influence, he lost his integrity with God. Folks, as children of God, it's not just about marriage now, but as we have been chosen out of the world, let's not align ourselves again with the things of this world. Those things that are polluted. Those things that are unclean. Those things that work an unrighteous influence on our children. Why would I take my children somewhere and place them under an ungodly influence? Where they're being exposed to things under the name of entertainment. Of the very things that God has saved us from. What am I doing to my children if I were to do that? Folks, we've been chosen out of the world, and it means there are going to be some places that we won't go. There's going to be some things that we won't do. There's going to be some people that we will not fellowship. I didn't say be friends to. Jesus was a friend of sinner. But I can't fellowship them in the Lord because they've gone the way of the world. And if I fellowship with them, what message am I sending to my children? I'm saying, we're just all going to heaven a little different way. And now I've just taught my children it's okay to do it, even if I don't do it. I fellowship people that do. That's why in our homes and in the congregation and in the body of Christ, folks, we have been called and chosen out of the world. Let's not go back to it tonight. And I'll say again, there is a reproach that comes with it. There is a reproach. I think I'm going to conclude there, and that may be continued as well. There is a reproach. The world will not know us, folks. They won't understand because they're trying to mix and mingle those things that are pure with the things that are impure. And we can't have it both. We have to make a decision. And if we do not make a decision to be chosen out of the world and to follow the way of the cross, by tacit consent, we have made a choice. By tacit consent, we have made a choice. Folks, we have been chosen out of the world, and the world will hate us. The world may reject us. But I want us to know tonight that there is a way and there is a place in the Lord that there are blessings. There's victories that are found right in this place of the cross, but it's when we've been chosen out. You pray for me. Amen.